Hello and welcome to the Soul Refuge Podcast. My name is W.F. White. I am a born-again Bible-believing Christian, and Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Be blessed. The Immaculate Deception of Mother Mary. That is the message that I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be talking about the counterfeit teaching of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which is taught by the Roman Catholic Church. So I'll be exposing one of the greatest lies that has been propagated by the Church of Rome, which is called the Immaculate Conception. So let's deal with this false teaching once and for all. From the Roman Catholic Catechism 1994, item number 508, it says this: "From among the descendants of Eve, God chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of his Son, full of grace. Mary is the most excellent fruit of redemption. From the first instant of her conception, she was totally preserved from the stain of original sin, and she remained pure from all personal sin throughout her life." So that is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. This is the teaching that I grew up with. I was raised as a Roman Catholic, and I was born again many years later at the age of 36. Glory to God. It's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen, to be born again. It's a miracle to be saved. And this is why I bring forth teachings such as this, which I'll bring forth to you today. So right now I'm going to be dealing the main part of this teaching. I will be taking excerpts, very small excerpts from an encyclical which was given by the Church of Rome in 1854, December 8th. This was when Pope Pius IX was the Pope. So an encyclical is like a circular, it's like a letter mainly to the bishops throughout the Roman Catholic system. So this is official teaching. This is when the teaching of the Immaculate Conception of Mary became official. So this was in the year 1854. So let me give you some excerpts. And what I'm going to do here, as I give you an excerpt, I'm going to refute what they teach with the scripture. This is important, ladies and gentlemen. As I said before, I speak to you as a former Roman Catholic. The truth set me free. So if you're listening today out of curiosity, still in the Roman Catholic Church, I'm here to tell you today is the day of salvation. Today's the day to put down the rosary beads, lay aside the scapulars, the miraculous medals, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. So let me quote here some excerpts from this encyclical regarding the Immaculate Conception. As I said, December 1854, Pope Pius IX. He said, "We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the most blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, as a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful." So what a statement they do. When they make statements, the Church of Rome, ladies and gentlemen, as is being said here, this is something that God is revealing to them. And I'm here to tell you today that God did not reveal that to them. I'm here to tell you today that the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception of Mary, as is taught by the Church of Rome, was revealed to them by the God of this world, who was the devil himself. So let me quote some scriptures here. Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." That would include Mary. "For all have sinned," this is Romans 3:23, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That too would include Mary. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So here are some more verses. I want you to remember these, particularly Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Don't miss this. This was the day when they would be bringing the child, Jesus, to be circumcised. And there was a certain procedure that had to take place, ladies and gentlemen. And there were offerings that were required to be brought forth. Atonement for sin offerings is what they are called, one of the offerings. And it had to do with Mary. And that is exactly what took place there, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm going to read to you from the book of Leviticus to show you exactly what was happening there. Listen to this. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath born a male or a female, and if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. So Mary, listen to me now, ladies and gentlemen. Mary, a Jewish virgin, she went through the same procedures as any other Jewish woman would go through. Don't miss that. So I'm making this clear to you, folks, just to show you that the teaching, the man-made teaching, the man-made false teaching taught by Rome called the Immaculate Conception, it is a bogus teaching. Don't fall for it. As I said today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Roman Catholic, today is the day you want to leave that church. Look at this as I continue. Hence, if anyone, this is quoting, by the way, still from that encyclical from 1854, Pope Pius IX. Hence, if anyone shall dare, which God forbid, to think otherwise than as has been defined by us, let him know and understand that he is condemned by his own judgment, that he has suffered shipwreck in the faith, that he is separated from the unity of the church, and that furthermore, by his own action, he incurs the penalties established by law if he should dare to express in words or writing or by any other outward means the errors he think in his heart. So, you know, you read that, folks, that would include me, obviously, what I'm doing here today and what I've been doing since I got saved, since the Lord Jesus Christ rescued me from the deception of that system. So I speak because I see people joining in unity with this system of Rome. And I'm telling you today, don't do it. No matter how many people you see going over to Rome, having audiences with the Pope, singing his praises, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as a former Roman Catholic, do not fall for that, okay? So let me give you some scriptures to refute what they say here. John 3:17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I included that for a reason, ladies and gentlemen, because what this statement is being made by that Pope back in 1854, Pope Pius IX, he's saying here, he says, let him know and understand that he is condemned by his own judgment, all right? If I speak out against that teaching of the Immaculate Conception. But my Bible says that I'm not condemned, okay? It says here, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm born again of the Spirit. In fact, it was the Spirit of the living God who opened my eyes to see these things. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So keep that in mind, folks. Don't be condemned. If you're still in the Church of Rome, you're very worried. You're on the brink of leaving. Here, the word for you today is leave. It's time to go. So look at this as I continue from this encyclical from Pope Pius IX, 1854. All our hope do we repose in the most blessed Virgin, and the all-fearing Immaculate One, who has crushed the poisonous head of the most cruel serpent and brought salvation to the world. In her, who is the glory of the prophets and apostles, the honor of the martyrs, the crown and joy of all the saints, in her, who is the safest refuge and the most trustworthy helper of all who are in danger. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I'm a former Roman Catholic. It's difficult to read these words sometimes. You're seeing something they're pointing to her, whereas they should be pointing to Jesus Christ for these things. Look at this. They're saying that the Immaculate One, her, Mary, is the one who crushed the poisonous head of the most cruel serpent. That's something that Jesus Christ did, folks, when he died on the cross. He's the one that we find salvation in, folks, not in Mary, not in her. Look, it says here, she's the glory of the prophets and the apostles, the honor of the martyrs. My, oh my, it says in her, who is the safest refuge. Oh no, folks. In fact, I named this channel, YouTube, Soul Refuge, because Jesus is the one that you will find refuge for your soul. Glory to God. So let me refute that now with the scripture, Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is speaking of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. What a victory. He made a spectacle out of the demon powers, folks. Don't ever forget that. He did this on a cross. Don't believe that teaching, by the way, that tells you that Jesus Christ was beaten by demons in hell. Folks, hear me now. Victory took place at the cross. Glory to God. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Lord, have mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Look at this, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Glory to God. That describes it all, folks. Jesus Christ became a partaker of flesh and blood. This is why he was manifest, ladies and gentlemen. This is why he came into the world. This is why he was sent down from above. He partook of our humanity. That's right. He partook of our humanity. This is why they say there's a song that the angels can't sing, and his song is redeemed. He came to redeem us. Glory to God. He didn't become an angel. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he had no sin. Glory to God. So this is what he did, and he did it for us, that through death, he wanted to set us free, folks, so that you could know you can have everlasting life. Glory to God. Let's see what happened after he rose from the dead. Good stuff, folks. Luke chapter 24. Let's start at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Let me stop right there, folks. Here's the Lord. He rose from the dead, and his own followers, his closest followers, his own disciples, they were terrified. They had never seen anything like this before, folks. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is incredible stuff, folks. And they were absolutely petrified. He had to say, here, come, look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at me. It's me. And he says, the spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He was trying to comfort them. Let's continue. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Glory to God. I like eating fish. I just had a couple of days ago flounder, some salmon. Jesus wanted to comfort them. He says, here, do you have anything to eat? Let me share a meal with you. Let's continue. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So look at what he said there, folks. He says, all that you find written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms, it all has to do with me. I'm going to just take a look at what that encyclical said. Look what it says here. All our hope that we repose in the most blessed Virgin, the fair immaculate one who has crushed the poisonous head of the most cruel serpent. Look at that. And then it goes on to say, in her who is the glory of the prophets and apostles. Look at that. Not true. That's from the pit of hell, folks. That's from the pit of hell. What I'm delivering to you today, folks, are things that the devil does not want you to know. He's the great deceiver. And I am absolutely sure that what I am telling you today, folks, is true. So what you're hearing, folks, is what you need to hear. Glory to God. So that's what the Lord was showing them. And let's continue here now. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, take this message to the whole world. Start right here in Jerusalem. Okay, this message, by the way, is for Jew and Gentile. There's only one gospel, folks. There's one way to heaven. You must come through Jesus Christ, no matter where you live in this world, no matter what you believe. You may be an atheist. God does not believe in atheists, by the way. So you need to come in through Jesus Christ, too. Let's go back to that encyclical. It says, in her, who with her only begotten Son is the most powerful mediatrix and conciliatrix in the whole world, in her, who is the most excellent glory, ornament, and impregnable stronghold of the Holy Church, in her, who has destroyed all heresies and snatched the faithful people and nations from all kinds of direst calamities, in her do we hope, who has delivered us from so many threatening dangers. Not so. Oh my, look at this, folks. You really got to know. This is why I tell you, folks, to study the scriptures for yourself. Look at this. Her only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is not the begotten Son of Mary. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Mary is not the mother of God, okay? Don't ever forget that. That would make her deity herself, folks. Oh my. She was not the mother of Christ's divinity, but only of his humanity, folks. Don't miss this, folks. So what Satan tries to do, I hope you're starting to see, he's trying to distract you and put your eyes and your faith in Mary. People have been praying to Mary their whole lives, and decades of praying Hail Marys, wearing scapulars, wearing the miraculous medals, going to visit places like Lourdes and Fatima. Their whole life is dedicated to Mary. But you know something, folks? They never enter into the kingdom of God. They never enter into God's kingdom. They've never been born again of the Spirit. That's a fact. That's the truth. The Romans teaching regarding baptism says you're born again when you're baptized as a little infant. I was baptized as a little infant, folks. I was not saved until 1989 at the age of 36. Do not fall for this, folks. God's the one who begot the Son. Look at this, John 3:16, famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't find Mother Mary there, folks. You don't find a word. You don't find a syllable regarding Mary. She's not a mediator. There's only one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And look at this, folks. Matthew 11:27-28. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ, folks, he's the one you need to come to for rest. You want comfort? Come to the Lord. He will bring the rest that you so desire. Let's go back to this encyclical from the Pope of Rome, Pius IX from 1854. Goes on to say, we are firm in our confidence that she, meaning Mary, will obtain pardon for the sinner, health for the sick, strength of heart for the weak, consolation for the afflicted, help for those in danger, that she will remove spiritual blindness from all who are in error, so that they may return to the path of truth and justice, and that here may be one flock and one shepherd. I mean, that is absolute heresy, folks. Satan is so clever, and he has deceived, literally, folks, over the centuries, billions of precious souls within the Roman Catholic system. And I thank God that God plucked me out of that darkness, because you don't know you're deceived until you come out from the deception, folks. I mean, you just mosey on in your life thinking perhaps you might be okay, but you're not. So look at this. It talks about her, Mary, obtaining pardon for the sinner, health for the sick. So all of these attributes are things that only God can give to you, folks. It's a life in the pit of hell. It's from Satan. So look at this, John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's exactly what happened with me. It's the truth of God's words. It's the scriptures. The Lord anointed the word of God to my heart and showed me the lies of the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm exposing only one here today in the teaching of Mary and the Immaculate Conception, folks. The Church of Rome is loaded with absolute heresy. I mean, and it's amazing to me to this day that you have anointed pastors won't utter a peep against this system. That shows you how demonic it is, that the pressure keeps their mouths silent. It's mind-boggling, especially as close as we are to the end, folks. I believe we are. Let me go some more, folks. Here we go. This is the Apostle Paul. He's testifying of how the Lord saved his soul. Look at this. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Let me stop right there. Apostle Paul, he was a persecutor of Christians, consented unto the death of many Christians. You're talking murder, folks. Kill people. Think about that. Kill people because they believed in Jesus. Now, there's a voice speaks to this man, and they all fall to the ground. The team that Paul was with, Saul at the time, and he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And it's this voice from heaven says, "I am Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting." Can you imagine this? So here's Jesus speaking from heaven to this Jewish man who was on his way to persecute more Christians. And now he's testifying how the Lord saved his soul. Look what the Lord said to him. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So what Paul was doing, that's what I'm doing today, folks. I'm preaching the word so that your eyes might be open. It's not Mary who is going to unblind your eyes, folks. It's Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Ghost to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. I went from darkness to light, folks. I went from the power of Satan unto God. I was on the highway to hell. That's right. In the Roman Catholic system, on the highway to hell. So it says here that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I was forgiven. No more confessional booths, folks. I don't have to go to a confessional booth and confess my sins to an unsaved priest. Lord, have mercy upon their souls. It's a fact, folks. You're hearing the truth today. It's the Spirit of God, folks, that sets you free. John 16 and 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." John 15, 26, "But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Glory to God. Let me stop here. Folks, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's called the Spirit of truth. And here's Jesus saying, "I'm going to send him to you." Listen, today, if you're listening and you don't have the Holy Spirit, folks, you're lost. You're still dead in your sins. You need the Holy Spirit before you leave this world. It's like that credit card commercial. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave this earth without the Holy Spirit, folks. Don't ever forget what you just heard. He will comfort you, okay? And Jesus said, "He shall testify of me." You notice Mary is not mentioned there, Mother Mary? No mention of Mary. You don't hear Jesus Christ exalting Mary. You don't find that. You don't find that at all. So you must see that, folks. Look at this. Romans 5, 6 to 10, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Mary has nothing to do with salvation, ladies and gentlemen. Back to that encyclical from 1854, Pope Pius IX. "Let all the children of the Catholic Church who are so very dear to us hear these words of ours with a still more ardent zeal for piety, religion, and love. Let them continue to venerate, invoke, and pray to the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, conceived without original sin. Let them fly with utter confidence to this most sweet Mother of mercy and grace in all dangers, difficulties, needs, doubts, and fears." Folks, Jesus is the one you need to go to. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's the only one without sin, folks. He's the one that you need. He's our great high priest, folks. He's passed into the heavens. Oh, yes. And that's the one you need. Back to the encyclical, 1854, Pope Pius IX. Under her guidance, under her patronage, under her kindness and protection, nothing is to be feared. Nothing is hopeless. Because while bearing toward us a truly motherly affection and having in her care the work of our salvation, she is solicitous about the whole human race. My Bible tells me in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ, folks, is the power of God. No mention of Mary. This gospel's for Jew and Gentile. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you find Mary there? Nope, you will not find Mary there. You know where you find Mary, folks? You find Mary in the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. You find Mary in the man-made tradition of the Roman Catholic Church. Birthed from the very pit of hell, folks. I'm telling you this for a reason. The precious souls, and if you're listening, you're Roman Catholic, it's a choice. You know, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You have a choice. You can meditate upon the Word of God. You can meditate on the Scriptures. Get on your knees and say, or get aside by yourself and say, "Lord, I want the truth. I want the truth." Pray, "I want the truth," and see what God does. See what God does, folks. I know what it's like, with these things, these apparitions of Mary, folks. I speak as a former Roman Catholic. I've said it before. I was interested in that apparition, and it's still going on, by the way, in Medjugorje. And, people are still getting messages, some of them, I believe, even on a daily basis. It used to be on the 25th of each month. But from what I'm reading, some people, I say, they're getting messages from Mary every day. This is demonic. The Lord set me free from that, folks. And it'll do the same for you. So as we continue that encyclical, ladies and gentlemen, 1854, Pope Pius IX, "And since she has been appointed by God to be the queen of heaven and earth and is exalted above all the choirs of angels and saints and even stands at the right hand of her only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, she presents our petitions in a most efficacious manner. What she asks, she obtains. Her pleas can never be unheard." Once again, man-made tradition, demonically inspired by the father of lies, the devil himself. My, oh my, she's not the queen of heaven. Never was the queen of heaven. She's not at the right hand of her only begotten Son. You don't find that in the Bible. Look at this, Acts 7:55 and 56. This is Stephen right before he's about to be murdered and stoned for his faith in Jesus Christ by the unbelieving Jewish people. Look at this. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" You don't see Mary being mentioned there, folks. You know why? Because she's not there. Okay? If you go to heaven, you'd find her somewhere around the throne praising the Lord, but she's not sitting at the right hand of God. Look at this, Romans 8:34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." That's the one you need, folks. You don't need Mary. I know I prayed my Hail Marys, folks. You know, each Hail Mary, it ended, "Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." Amen, over and over and over. You're praying, you're asking for Mary to intercede, you're asking for Mary's help. You know, that's what you're taught as a Catholic. You go to Jesus, but you must come through Mary. You see, that's a teaching. That's the way Rome talks, because Jesus came through Mary. He came from the womb of Mary. So to say, now you got to go through Mary to get to Jesus. Not true. Hear it from an ex-Catholic, folks. I was born again. I was saved. And that's why I'm telling you these things today. Get out today if you can, folks. So very important that you see that. And, you know, here we are in the year 2020. And let me just give you a quote just to show you how deceived people are. This is the leader of the Roman Catholic system. This is the Pope, okay? So this is from an article entitled Mother and Son, Pope Francis Shears Personal Intimate Devotion to Mary by Cindy Wooden, Catholic News Service. It says this, an excerpt from that article, honoring the Mother of God, of course, is a solid part of Catholic tradition and a mainstay in the devotion and teaching of the popes. St. John Paul II's motto, Totus Tuus, all yours, and the large M on his coat of arms were just the most graphic elements of a devotion that led to a whole body of teaching about Mary, her role in a Catholic's faith life, and the importance of praying the rosary. That's the rosary beads, you know, each bead represents something. Most of them Hail Mary prayers, a couple of Our Fathers, Glory Be, and so on. Also from that article, listen to this. Visiting Naples in March, Pope Francis told priests, nuns, and seminarians that one way to make sure Jesus is the center of their lives is to ask his mother to take you to him. A priest, a brother, a nun, who does not love Mary, who does not pray to her, I would even say one who does not recite the rosary, well, if you don't love the mother will not give you the son. I mean, folks, sirens should be sounding in your heart, in your mind, if you've been truly born again of the Spirit, if you're a Christian, folks. I mean, that is simply unbelievable. If you don't love the mother will not give you the son. One who does not pray to her. Look at that. This is incredible stuff. Let me repeat that part. A priest, a brother, a nun who does not love Mary, who does not pray to her. I would even say one who does not recite the rosary. Well, if you don't love the mother will not give you the son. So folks, here I am. All these years later, in 1989, I was born again. I prayed the rosary countless times. Oh, yes, I did. Countless times. And it's a miracle, folks. And I'm here to tell you, folks, Christ is the one that you need. Jesus Christ is the one that you need. I know what it is to carry the beads and pray the beads and wear the scapulars and wear the miraculous medals, folks. The good news is that Jesus Christ set me free, and he will set you free. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be blessed.